Most books on music appreciation and most courses warn us that we must not allow ourselves to revel in the sounds of music for their own sake. I would like to recommend the opposite view, since the sensuous qualities of sounds themselves are an extremely important part of the pleasures to be derived from music. I should go further and say that even sounds that are not thought of as being musical can be sources of pleasure. For example, do you share with me a certain pleasure in hearing any of these sounds? Here's the creaking of wagon wheels. And the sounds of horses' hooves. Pleasures that you may derive from any or all of those sounds partake of the stuff of which musical enjoyment is made. We can enjoy the sensation as certain sounds impinge upon our ears. First, let me make a distinction between sense and sensation. Listen to the sense or the meaning of the words I'm about to say, that is, their intellectual content. Beethoven, despite the fact that he started to become deaf before his 30th year, went on to become one of the greatest of all composers. Now, the information contained in those words, that is, their sense, is in no way changed when they're spoken by a woman. The only thing that's altered is the sensation or the physical quality of the voice that impinges upon your ear.
Beethoven, despite the fact that he started to become deaf before his 30th year, went on to become one of the greatest of all composers.
You can readily imagine the changes in the sensation if those same words were to be spoken by other voices, perhaps a high man's voice, a tenor, or a woman's voice of a different quality. And do you perhaps respond with pleasure not only to the quality of a particular voice, but also to the sounds of the K's and T's and D's as they're pronounced by different speakers? Here, basically, and in a rudimentary way, in our sensitivity to the different sensations that reach our ear, is the source of the concept of orchestration, the fact that we are pleased by the different sensuous qualities of the various instruments and voices. Now, while the sense contained in any verbal statement can be conveyed completely, irrespective of the quality of the voice that speaks the statement, nothing comparable is possible in music. Musical content is contained in its sensuous embodiment. Try to imagine any melody that you'd hear it in your mind without its having some sensuous quality, even though you're not hearing an actual voice or instrument, but only a recollection of its sound. Try to imagine the melody of, let's say, Yankee Doodle, as played by a trumpet. Now imagine the same melody played by a violin. Granted that the melody, the sense of the music, has remained unchanged, the difference between the tone quality of the trumpet and that of the violin has changed the music because, besides being about the notes or the melody, the music is also about the sound of the trumpet or of the violin and about whatever sensuous qualities and emotional associations those instruments may have for you. For example, here's a portion of the scherzo movement of Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony. The woodwind instruments have their own distinctive tone color, and the plucked strings have their tone color. Each one by itself is a source of sensuous pleasure. But notice the additional pleasures that result from the alternation of the sounds of the woodwinds and the plucked strings. Here's that same passage played on a piano. The sense of the music is all here. That is, all the notes that you've just heard are contained in this version for piano. But the sensuous qualities, stemming from the alternation of woodwinds and plucked strings, are now limited to the single tone color of the piano. It's our desire for variety of tonal sensations that has led to the development of the orchestra. Basically, our Western orchestra consists of four families of instruments. First, the strings. The next family of instruments in the orchestra is the woodwinds. Basically, this group consists of the flute, the oboe, clarinet, and the bassoon. Together, those four woodwind instruments sound like this. Because of our sensitivity to gradations in the quality of sounds, there are also what we might call variants of those four instruments. There is a small flute called the piccolo, which is merely the Italian word for small. It plays higher than the flute. There's a somewhat larger version of the oboe that, because of its larger size, plays lower notes than the oboe. It bears the same relationship to the oboe that the contralto voice does to the soprano voice. It's called the English horn, but actually it's a contralto oboe, and it sounds this way. There's a larger and therefore deeper version of the clarinet, the bass clarinet, which sounds like this. also a larger and deeper bassoon, called the double bassoon, that inhabits the very lowest register of the woodwind sound. Still another type of wind sound is produced by the brass instruments, which constitute another family of instruments in the orchestra. The most brilliant is the trumpet. The French horn, the brass instrument with the large bell, produces a mellower sound. Three French horns playing in harmony produce an especially rich sound. And a group of trombones have a nobility that's peculiarly their own. While the bass of the brass choir is the tuba. Nothing can quite match the magnificence and the grandeur of the full family of brass instruments when they're going full tilt. There is another instrument which is actually a hybrid, since it's a brass instrument, but it's played with a reed, which is typical of most of the woodwind instruments. The result is the saxophone. The fourth group of instruments that make up the orchestra is the percussion family. Of the large collection of instruments that produce their sound by being struck, the most frequently used are first the timpani or kettle drums, which are distinctive in that they produce actual pitches. The bass drum gives an ominous sound. And the side drum or snare drum has a commanding quality. Here's the triangle with its glittering sound. The tambourine, the cymbals, the gong. Then there are instruments that play actual pitches, the chimes, the xylophone, the celesta, the Glockenspiel. There is also a family of instruments whose tone is produced by means of the plucking of strings. In this category, the main instrument is the harp. Not a regular member of the symphony orchestra, has certainly become popular as either a solo instrument or as accompaniment to folk music. The mid-20th century has seen the development of still another kind of sound, that produced electronically. Possibilities opened up by electronically produced sounds are endless. But in any case, by no matter what means they are produced, the purpose of this variety of sounds is to provide us with a complete spectrum of different sensations. Not only does each instrument have its own tonal characteristics, it can also be played with different techniques and thus expand our sources of sensuous pleasure. The piano, for example, can have a clear bell-like quality, as Mozart uses it in the slow movement of his Piano Concerto No. 20. Notice what a different sensuous quality the piano can supply when it's used in a thick, massive way, as in the opening movement of the Piano Concerto No. 2 by Brahms. Here, as it's used in one of the preludes by Debussy, notice the almost dreamy quality produced by the piano. Thank you. The violin also produces a variety of sensations upon our ear, depending upon the manner in which it's played. Here in Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, it produces one effect when the notes are played legato, that is, when they're joined to each other as smoothly as possible. And for contrast, notice the different effect produced in the first movement of Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 4, when the violin is played staccato, that is, with each note separated from the previous one. Then here's the effect in the finale of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, when the violin is played spiccato, that is, with a bouncing bow. That same bouncing bow technique can be used by all the violins in an orchestra, as it is in the finale of Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, and notice the effect. Still another sensuous effect, notice the quality of the violin in the beginning of Ravel's Tzigane. Here the player really digs in the lower register of the instrument, and the result is a throaty quality. These are just a few of the techniques for producing different sensuous qualities of sound, and of course they're not confined to the violin. They can be, and are, employed by all the stringed instruments, and this enlarges our range of possible sensations in music. Here, for example, in the work called Iberia by Debussy, notice the exciting quality that the composer achieves by having the entire string section of the orchestra play pizzicato, that is, by plucking the strings. In effect, the entire string orchestra becomes one gigantic guitar. And here in the string quartet number 6 by Bartok, notice the effect when the cellist slides his finger along the string. This is called the glissando. But some of the greatest sensuous pleasures come not only from the characteristics of each family of instruments, or even from the gradations of tone quality of the individual instruments within any one family, but from the sounds that result when the various families of instruments are contrasted with one another. Note the variety of sensations that Berlioz produces in the March to the Gallows from his Fantastic Symphony. Including bars of the march from Tchaikovsky's Pathétique Symphony, notice the thrilling effect produced by all the choirs of the orchestra going simultaneously.